This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Spiegel and Holmes.
We're going to do that show this year, yes. The Spiegel guy.
Spiegel guy.
Lawrence, don't call me Larry.
Afternoons on the Score.
I don't know. The biggest question is, when you get it done? Something has to happen where, and I'm not spending nobody's money. I mean, I would like to. But if I had a chance to give him the bag, I'm making sure I do it before the season. So I'm telling you, he's going to get it.
Well, I was talking about Kyle Tucker, too. So yeah. Talking about a couple Brinks trucks there.
If you want to win. Yeah. If you want to win, that's all I'm saying. So, listen, it's going to cost some money. But, and maybe Kyle's first. I just look at PCA and go, man, these other guys are getting money around the league. And I put him in that same category with the top youngsters in the league right now.
Oh, yeah.
There's quite the argument to be made for what Cliff Floyd is talking about as it pertains to Pete Crow Armstrong. You can watch Cliff on all of the Cubs coverage on Marquee. He does his best. When Cole gives him a bad pun, I'm starting to think that Cliff, like, I'm starting to think Cole, like, writes his stuff down, and he's like, I'm gonna get Cliff with this one. I'm gonna get him with this one. And then you look over and you see Cliff rolling his eyes, and you're like, oh, they're having some fun over there at Marquee. Chicagoland baseball legend, former Cub, our friend Cliff Floyd. Hey, Cliff, how are you?
What's up, fellas? How y'all feeling?
We're good, man. We're doing really well. I don't know if any of us are doing as well as PCA is doing right now. That young man is off to a great start. What do you think is the biggest reason behind that?
Well, I think first and foremost, my man let his personality show come spring training, right? Like, comes with the blonde hair, the blue stars in the hair. I'm like, okay, this is you. This is a guy that everybody's been waiting on for a minute. And I think that started it. So you get to spring training, you get comfortable, you see your boys ain't clowning you, right? They like, oh, you actually are human. You like to have fun and do your thing. And, you know, and so now he's starting to understand the game. The game has slowed down tremendously for him. And then you have a guy like Kyle Tucker to his left and center. And that's the calmest dude I think I've ever seen in my life, right? So I think all those things thrown in, you know, into a bag, you getting started, I think we've been waiting to see.
It's been awesome, man. And it's like, to see certain at-bats, that at-bat against Quintana with the three-run homer the other night where he's fighting off those curves and watching some and then hits the fastball high and outside, pulls that. I'm like, oh, my God. It feels like a different animal. It feels like we're watching a superstar evolving. We knew the power and the speed was there, but when you see at-bats like that, you're like, oh, boy, all bets are off.
That's game-changing. I can't wait to get over it. I'm like, I forget. I'm like, is this dude this big? He's not a big guy, right? So we did a comp the other day, and I was like, man, from the left side, you remember Kenny Lofton had that type of pop?
Yes.
Like Kenny Lofton had that type of juice. If you go back And when I used to see Kenny hit some balls in left center gap and hit some balls out and do some things, I'm like, man, Ken, like, you're like, you know what? I got leverage. I get good leverage. Pete gets good leverage through the baseball. Like, you know, he gets on his backside. So if you look at all these guys, all of them kind of do like a little toe tap. The good, like Kyle Tucker does a little toe tap. Like some of these guys are doing, you know, some things. And I think when Pete sees that, he's like, I think I can do that. And I think he's that good. I think he can do pretty much anything he wants to do, being honest with you. He's a different animal, man, I'm telling you.
We were talking, Cliff, about your career and looking through, because you played with some ballers. And obviously, you were a baller yourself. But, like, do you remember a moment when you looked at a teammate and you're like, oh, my God, this dude is becoming a superstar right in front of my eyes? Like, I'm seeing it all come together. Did that happen at any point in your career that you can think about?
Absolutely, man. So I go all the way back to 90. I'm dating myself, fellas, to 90, to like 93, 94. Mm-hmm. Now, Larry Walker had been in the league for a couple years, but Larry Walker was different. You know what I mean? Like, when Larry Walker touched the field, and he never really overexerted himself, which I thought was even more crazy. Larry Walker was game changing every time he stepped on the field. And it wasn't just with the bat. If you ever watch how he ran the bases, it was something to see. Like, you can't teach some things. And he had a hose for an arm. He could do anything he wanted to do on the field. He could play hockey. I think he wanted to be a hockey. You know, I think he wanted to play hockey, and then decided baseball was just going to be secondary for him. And then the last one is David Wright in New York. David Wright was different. I remember his first day in the league, and I was like, you know, I was like, hey, make time for yourself. You know, some cats, you don't have to tell that much, too. They just get it.
See, that's the thing we were talking about. Like, what does that mean? This is happening for Pete. It's clearly happening for Pete right now. And as a teammate, what's your job when you see a kid like this blowing up as a teammate?
So the biggest thing is, you know, when he falls on his face a little bit, right, you got to be there to pick him up, dust him off. Pick him up, dust him off, say, hey, it's going to be all right. You know, like Matt Shaw goes down. Justin Turner, I'm having a conversation with JT, and I was like, Jay, what's up, man? Is this dude going to, like, figure it out? He goes, he'll figure it out, but he has to get out of his own way. He has to figure out how to get to the point where – maybe his batting stance might have to change a little bit. Maybe some things have to move a little bit, but he's going to get it. PCA was able to come up, get a cup of coffee, go home, work on some things. And then he was like, oh, I got this. Like, I can do this every single day. I figured it out. Like, I don't have to, you know, struggle for a long amount of time. I know some pitchers going to get me, going to eat my bat up every once in a while. But tomorrow's a new day. He gets that already.
I love the fact, and you brought up Kyle Tucker. The fact that that guy is in a lineup, when a player like that is in a lineup, what does it do for the rest of the guys in the lineup?
So I think the big thing, we saw this last year, fellas, as well. They chased everything, the whole team, right? They just, you know, pressure situations, they just amp their mind up to say, I got to be the guy, I got to be the guy, I got to do it now. When it's a total opposite for Kyle, like Kyle is very good at taking his base. You know, even when he struggled, he had a little funk right before they went to Milwaukee. He was like 2-for-18. But I don't think anybody noticed it. You know, if you're watching closely, you're like, oh, he's struggling a little bit. So when Kyle is saying, hey, fellas, as a unit, if we put that pitcher in a blender and put us back against the wall, and now he's 3-1, now you're 2-0, now you're 2-1, these are the best counts. You right? That's what we're looking for. Even though the Cubs, when you look at their stats, they actually are hitting bombs. They probably lead the league in hitting homers on 0-2-1-2 counts. So it's just a combination of everything that Kyle has brought with him. And I think, I don't know what the heck happened in Houston. I don't know how you think you can win without him. But I think the Cubs are doing a dang good job of bringing a guy in that they knew could help their dudes consistently from 1 through 9.
I feel like Say is a different guy this year because he's watching Kyle. Like, Say is attacking. He's attacking pitch one and pitch two. I think he did it 3 times yesterday. It didn't work, but I still love to see it. He's going up there. He's hunting, looking to make damage early, isn't he?
Yeah, man. You know what? You pay attention to detail, you know, you get results, right? So, you know, if I'm talking to Say, I'm like, hey, bro, you're really good when you take all three strikes. Stop letting that one strike just go past like it's, you know, like it's just, all right, you know, I'm really that good and I can give you a strike. Go up there and ambush every once in a while. Be that guy, you know, and be aggressive. And you look at the stats, they stare at you right in the face. They ain't no lie. I mean, he's hitting the ball when he has his groove, and this is him in a DH role that he didn't want. You know what I mean? It's not that it had to happen. It's like, hey, Seth, you're gonna DH. You gotta get it. And that's a tough role to get, even though he did last year a little bit. It's still something where you have to wrap your head around it and make sure that, you know, you locked in and dialed in to go up there and just get kind of like four pinch hit at bats.
It's working, though. It seems like the DH thing, like he had so much anxiety out there in right field. You could see it, man. He's got that removed now every night.
I agree. After what happened in Atlanta, right? Like, yes. He's kind of like, you know, he can breathe a little bit. He can focus on some, you know, just hitting, you know, still take some balls in outfield because like yesterday, you know, Cal slides into second base and you're like, uh-oh. You know, but you got a guy who can go out there if you need be and fit right in.
To speak to Cliff Floyd's thought, and you can watch Cliff on Marquee, I'm looking at Kenny Lofton's career numbers.
Mm-hmm.
There's some stupid stuff on here, man.
You see what I'm saying? You that's what I'm saying.
So Kenny Lofton had 130 home runs, okay?
Yes.
He had 116 triples. Yeah. That is absurd.
It is absurd.
That is absurd. And 383 doubles.
Yes. Yes. That's K-Lo. Man, he was like, different, bro.
What? Like,
yeah, man. I'm telling you. And you looked at him like maybe a .180 soaking wet. You know what I'm saying? Like he wasn't big dude. He has PCA's body type.
So what is Pete doing? Is he sitting back longer than everybody? Is the whole body exploding through the contact point? Like, what do you see?
So we broke him down the other day, right? And I didn't know he was a bad ball hitter. I almost threw him in the Vladimir Guerrero Sr. category the other day. I was like, man, you keep swinging. You know what I'm saying? So I think what he did was he preset himself on his backside. And when you do that, it gives you a little bit more time to recognize the pitch. And then everything else just flows. So now instead of him kind of getting on his backside, he kind of sits there and then taps and makes sure he stays there. And then now you're seeing how strong he is. I didn't know. Well, I knew he was strong. I didn't know he was this strong. So I think that's helped him find his power surge as far as going, man, if I stay back here, boy, I can do some damage. And now let's throw some balls in the gaps here and there. If he lays off that high fastball that we've been seeing him swing at, if he lays off that, I'm telling you, fellas, he's going to be in the MVP conversation.
Is that some of that Charlie Lau thing of like sitting back like Dwight Evans used to and Carlton Fisk used to, where all the weight is in the back and they just kind of tap and stay back and then explode through? Is that what he's doing?
That's it. That's what he's doing. And if I keep it as simple as that, you know, and I have talent, that's the game. I think we see so many different things, obviously, in the sport, but less is more. And the less you do, the better you're going to be. It's just the nature of the game. Now, it ain't easy. Don't get it twisted. People are like, well, is that easy? No, it ain't easy. But it's giving you a chance to eliminate the crap that that you see sometimes when guys struggle consistently.
We were talking about the way that this season looked on paper. The start of the season looked really rough. Dodgers are in there. The Padres are in there. The Dodgers again. And then the Dodgers again. The Giants this week. The Mets this week. The Cubs have come out on the really good side of what was a rough schedule. When you were looking at the schedule at the beginning of the season, did you think they would be this good through this point?
I can't lie. No. You know, I just, you know, you're looking at these teams. I mean, these are top teams in the sport, right? Really good pitching. The Padres got the best bullpen in the sport. I didn't know the Kyle Tucker effect would be this good. I know he was going to be dope. I knew he was top five, and I've said it numerous times. Kyle Tucker's top five in the game. Put his name up there. Look at his numbers the last five seasons. He's top five in the sport. Five tools as well. I didn't know his effect would do what he did in the month of April. I didn't know they would be 11 and I think they won 11 of 20 against the NL West, something crazy like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, after traveling to Japan from spring training, like a lot, you could have lost the season in April, in my opinion, and was able to come out of it the way they did. And the way they playing right now as one of the best teams in the sport. I'm giving that testament. I'm giving that love to Kyle Tucker. And obviously everybody has done their thing throughout the lineup, the starting rotation, even though you don't have Justin Steele, and hopefully Shota will be back sooner than later. But that bullpen, even though it has been not good at times, I think Craig is starting to find the guys he can get in there and solidify some of these roles.
What do you think it says? Because you said, hey, they could have lost a season in April. They didn't. What do you think it says to the clubhouse that they're thriving with this really tough schedule? And how do you keep yourself from going, oh, now things are going to be easy and you slack off?
Yeah, you know, you don't do that, right? So this is where, and I said it yesterday as we walked off, we got off set. I said, this is when you have guys like Matt Boyd go out there and calm the nerves. Like, hey, you know, we lost shoulder yesterday. We don't know, right? Speculation is that it didn't look good, right? But I'm going to hold down the fort. That's what veterans do. You bring in these guys that allow you to not ever get complacent, but know you got a good team. You stop hoping that you're going to win, and you go out there and know you're going to win. And so that's the difference, and that's championship-caliber-type baseball. When I've been on teams that have won, it's we expected to win. And then I've been on teams where you know you're going home in April, we expected to lose. So it's a different mindset, and I think it's manifesting through that whole clubhouse.
I don't know what they're going to do, Cliff. They don't have to use a fifth starter because with all the off days, they don't have to use one. But if they wanted to, do you let a kid like Cade Horton debut on the road away from home in New York against the Mets and Juan Soto? Or do you let him debut at home next week against the Marlins or even the White Sox because he got another off day? Like what's the best thing for a kid making his big debut?
A great question. I mean, he's going to pitch in New York at some point, but I do like the fact that he can drive from Iowa up here, right? And get here and settle in a little bit. The boys can bring him in a little bit, different than being on the road and chaos in New York and so on and so forth. So I like the idea if he's the guy. You know how they do it. You know how it is with bringing guys up these days. But to your point, you don't have to panic. Right, you don't have to panic. You have off days. You can figure out some things. I know Jordan Wicks' last start wasn't good down there. Gave up 7 runs his last start, but you got some guys. Drew Pomerantz is here, so you don't have to panic. You just kind of see what shoulder's going to be the timeline with that. And if Horton is your dude, and you get him at the right time because he's pitching phenomenal, I would be at home.
Cliff, that cap is money, man. Like that's
appreciate you, man.
That's quality
you know what?
Cap.
I ordered a couple of them because, you know, hey, you don't get to see this too often, right? So every time I'm walking down the street, man, I be seeing people standing there. I'm like, all right, look at me because I'm good looking.
Some people follow the rules. I break them. I'm Saraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Saraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My hat.
Both.
I'm just joking.
No, it's got to be both. So what is that? That's Jackie Robinson, old home Brooklyn pinstripes. Is that what that is?
There you go. Right on the money. Yes, sir.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's a quality cap from a stylish man. Cliff, as always, appreciate the time, man. Have fun. Tell our guy Cole to you know, hang in there, man. He be giving you the business, man.
When I tell you, bro, like this cat, man, I... Hey, man, I'm wearing my headphones today. I'm saying, you know, I had enough of you guys. It's over. So, appreciate y'all, man.
All right, Cliff, be good, man. That's Cliff Floyd. It was a really fun conversation via text and inside the mob of like comps for like future comps for PCA.
Yeah.
And obviously people are like, yeah, Lofton.
Ichiro? Anybody giving you Ichiro? It's not a fit for me.
Well, Ichiro, because his numbers match so well with Lofton's.
Oh, right.
Right?
So, but Ichiro had so much back control and was happy to slap and could bunt and all that, but he did have power. Like a little guy with power is what's interesting.
Chase Utley's name has come up a little bit. People are mentioning Curtis, and I really, Curtis Granderson, and I really want people to understand, Curtis hit a lot of home runs.
He hooked up with a hitting coach who was the same guy who helped Kyle Schwarber kind of save and transform his career. and Curtis, I forget the dude's name. I always forget his name. He was a Yankee hitting Kevin something. But he helped Curtis transform and become a power guy.
Curtis had a season where he hit 43 home runs. Okay? Curtis had 344 home runs in his career. To put that in perspective, Kyle Schwarber right now is at, what, 258? And we think of him as home run hitting guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, Curtis turned into that guy. Kevin Long is the guy I'm thinking about. Kevin Long helped Curtis transform as a Yankee, and he helped Kyle Long transform in Washington, that little period when Kyle was in Washington before he went to Boston and then to Philly.
You'd be more than happy if PCA turns into Curtis Granderson, but I think that the Lofton comp is a little bit better with a little bit more pop. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It definitely does. Like Lofton, but with pop is a really good, I mean, that's a dream comp. I had never connected it until he talked about it to the Walt Hriniak, Charlie Lau. Like George Brett did it too, staying way back.
Yep.
And then just exploding all your weight forward.
A lot of the old school guys, like what we were talking about last week, back hip through the ball.
Uh-huh.
That's.
But a lot of guys like set up with weight even and then go back to come forward. He's talking about how Pete just starts back and stays back and uses the toe tap just to keep himself back with balance.
Get that momentum going forward. It's and hit working. The ball.